I'm Ryan. I'm the middle school pastor here at Champion Forest, and I'm excited for this morning. We're going to get started into a brand new series. Now, I'm going to talk about that here in a minute, but as I get started this morning, I just want to start out by asking y'all a very simple question. I want to ask this question to everybody in the room. Okay, y'all ready for this? Okay, have you ever had a crush on somebody? Have you ever had a crush on somebody? Okay, I see a little head nodding, right? Okay. Next question would be, have you ever been afraid that that crush would find out? Anybody ever had that happen, right? Somebody found out? Okay, so see if you can picture this scene with me. This is an actual thing that happened in my life. I was in seventh grade. Now, a lot of you who have heard me talk before, you know I've told you about my experience in middle school, my traumatic, no good, very experience in middle school. And you would know that I was the biggest nerd on the planet in middle school. I mean, I wore the dorkiest outfits. My parents still have a picture of me wearing an Indiana Jones hat and sports goggles. Seriously, that was me in middle school. I still have that picture. So seventh grade, picture this with me. Seventh grade, I have a crush. It's like the biggest crush of my life up to that point. And this girl is named Amy. And Amy, Amy, right? Okay. Amy sat next to me in science class. And so we would talk all the time in science class. Now, she talked to me probably because she had to. And so I had this massive crush for like the whole year. And Amy, one day, you know, picture this, where it's like some idle Tuesday, right? And we're doing this project together and just working on whatever the science professor asked us to do at the time. And so we're talking and we're talking, we're doing this. And all of a sudden, she just looks at me. She goes, "Hey, Ryan." And I go, "What's up?" She says this. "Will you be my boyfriend?" Yes! Greatest moment ever. I'm like happy dancing inside, right? But I'm trying to keep it all cool on the outside. And it's like the greatest moment of my life. The woman of my dreams has just asked me to be her boyfriend. And then panic sets in. It's just fear and insecurity, and all of a sudden, like, it's just like, wait a second, this can't be real, right? Because I'm Indiana Jones with sports goggles. You're beautiful, and you play soccer, and you're smart, and you're funny, and you're popular. This doesn't connect, and all of a sudden, all these thoughts start flooding through my mind, like, this can't be real. Pinch yourself, you're dreaming. And so naturally, my response to, "Will you be my boyfriend?" My natural response at this moment is, "Are you serious?" Oh, man. She kind of looks at me like, "Yeah." And so I'm like, there's no way. There's no way this girl's serious. You know what? This is probably one of those pranks, right? I guarantee you somebody in here has got like this camera and they're trying to film the moment. Now, this is before we had cell phones. That actually happened. We never used to have cell phones. And so this is before. And so if she were to have a camera, it'd be one of those like big honking things, you know, that walk around like. And so I'm like, there's got to be a camera in the room. Somebody, they're trying to film this. And so I respond again, are you serious? And she says, "Yeah." And then I'm like, there's just no way. Like all these insecurities, all this fear starts flooding over my mind and my body. And I'm going, no, hang on. You're going to ask me to say yes. And then if I say yes, you're going to know that I like you. And then you're going to end up telling all your friends that I like you. And then everybody's going to make fun of me. And, you know, Indiana Jones, he thought he had a chance with Amy, the soccer player. And it's good. And so I just, you're serious. And at this point, all the ladies in the room are like, "Oh my gosh, really?" And so at this point, Amy just kind of, her face is a little confused, and she just looks at me and she goes, "You know what? Never mind." It's like, that really happened. That's not a joke. So I went from like the greatest moment ever to just destruction, right? She just pulls out my heart, rips it in half, stabs it a million times, stomps on it, sets it on fire, and throws it in the ocean. That just happened. Took me forever to find it again, right? And so I'm in this moment where it's like, it should have been like the greatest moment of my seventh grade life, right? I should have moved forward with boldness and said, absolutely, I would have been the talk of the school. This would, you know, this is just the greatest moment ever. I'm gonna go home and tell my mom and dad, that girl actually likes me. And instead, like all this fear and like all these insecurities started coming over me, and man, it just, like I was paralyzed by it. And so in a moment where I should have moved forward, I couldn't because I was just paralyzed by fear. I was overwhelmed by it. we're about to read here in the book of 2 Timothy is about this guy named Timothy, and Timothy is in one of those moments where Timothy is completely overwhelmed. Now, in order to understand where Timothy is at, you first have to understand the entire book of 2 Timothy. You can go ahead and turn there. 2 Timothy, it's in the New Testament, right? And you got to understand the whole book of 2 Timothy. And so we're starting our new series this morning. It's called 2 Timothy. And over the next few weeks, we're going to walk through this book. And to really grasp a hold of what this book is all about, you have to understand the two people that are involved. You've got the author of the book. It's a guy named Paul, okay? And then you've got the receiver of the book, or in this case, it's an actual letter written to Paul. And the receiver of the letter is the guy named Timothy, right? Now, most of you in here probably know or have heard of the name Paul before. And I'm going to tell you, in case you don't know who Paul is like the greatest Christian man of all time, right? I mean, he's an unbelievable dude. And by a Christian, I mean somebody who follows Jesus and has a personal relationship with Jesus. He's not like just this religious guy. He absolutely has a fundamental core belief that Jesus is the savior of the world. And this guy has lived his entire life after he met Jesus absolutely as much as he can proclaiming the gospel. And if you know anything about Christianity, this guy, like if we had a hall of fame for Christians, Paul would be in the hall of fame. Like as soon as you walk in, you'd probably see Paul's face. Like he's just this incredible man. Well, then he meets this guy named Timothy. Timothy's this younger guy, ends up meeting Jesus, he accepts Jesus as a savior. And Paul starts to kind of mentor him. And what you're gonna end up finding is Paul and Timothy have this, really it's like a father-son relationship. As a matter of fact, what you'll find in verse 2 is Paul actually says to Timothy, my beloved child. So they have a significantly deeper relationship than just simply, hey, we talk a few times, Timothy bounces some ideas off of Paul and maybe gets some advice. This is an incredible relationship. Paul is like an earthly father to Timothy. In order to understand fully what's happening in the book of 2 Timothy, you have to understand where Paul is currently at. Paul is in prison. Now, so he's been in prison a couple times, and this is his last stay in prison. And what you're going to find out is Paul is going to write the book of 2 Timothy, which is his last letter ever. Because here in a little bit, Paul's going to get executed by the Roman government. Now, he didn't do anything wrong. He just simply believed that Jesus was Savior and Lord, and the Roman government at that time executed Christians. So Paul is in a moment where he is literally about to die, and he recognizes his buddy Timothy is completely overwhelmed. And Timothy, if you'll flip the script, you got to understand Timothy's relationship to Paul. Timothy absolutely loves Paul. Paul is like his earthly father. He calls him again, his beloved child. Paul is the guy that Timothy goes to for every question that he has. Paul is the guy that has walked Timothy through life for the last several years. Paul is an earthly father. He's an advice giver. He's a caregiver. He's the guy that Timothy goes to and says, hey, listen, Paul, I got this question. I'm in this certain kind of situation. And Paul goes, here, dude, this is how you get out of the situation. Paul taught Timothy how to preach, how to teach, how to heal, how to be a caretaker, how to be a pastor to the people. His biggest encourager is Paul. Timothy has everything wrapped up in earth around this guy, Paul, much like you and I feel about some of the people in our life. And Timothy recognizes that his earthly father, in a sense, is about to die. And Timothy is a moment of complete, overwhelming, just destruction in his life. He's overwhelmed by fear, by anxiety. I mean, how do you lose the guy that you love? So Paul recognizes that Timothy's in a situation where, dude, he's just completely overwhelmed. And Paul decides, you know what? Out of anything I could have written in my last letter, we could have reminisced, we could have talked about, you remember those good times we had? We could have talked about, you remember how we saw God work in all these incredible ways? And instead, Paul goes, my guy Timothy, he needs some help. He is overwhelmed by fear right now. And so Paul decides to write this letter, and he spends the first 7 verses, and he gives a lot of incredible detail in these first 7 verses. We're going to stick with verse 7 this morning, but basically, here's the main point that Paul tries to make to Timothy at the beginning of this letter. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. This is going to be our main kind of takeaway, our main point for the rest of the morning. Here's basically what Paul is writing to Timothy. He's saying, dude, you are in the middle of an incredibly difficult time, I understand that, but here's where I want your focus to be. That's what he writes. Essentially, this is the idea. Do not be overwhelmed by your fear. Be overwhelmed by your faith. Say that again. Do not be overwhelmed by your fear. be overwhelmed by your faith. Now we're going to see kind of their relationship evolve a little bit here in this book of 2 Timothy. We're going to show you kind of where Paul decides to say, look, here is how you move from being overwhelmed by fear to being overwhelmed by faith. Okay, we're going to walk through all of that. We're going to look at a little bit of how does that look like in my life, your life, everybody's life in here. How do you move from being completely overwhelmed by fear to being completely overwhelmed by your faith? So I'm going to pray, then we'll jump in. God, I thank you for your word, man. It is beautiful and it is holy and it is precious and it's the bread of life. God, I know that your word says that when your word is preached, that your Holy Spirit will change lives and hearts and shape and mold our lives and our hearts. And God, I ask very specifically this morning that you will deal on a very personal level with every person in this room the idea and the aspect of fear. We all deal with it. And God, I pray that you will, in your immense power and your immense abilities, be able to, with your Holy Spirit, and we invite your Holy Spirit into this room right now, God, and begin to mold and shape and work in the lives of the hearts of the people in this room and help us move from a place of being overwhelmed by our fear to a place where we are completely overwhelmed by our faith. God, you have the power to do that, and I ask you you'll do that this morning. It's your holy and precious name I pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to read through verses 1 through 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And I just want you to think about, as Paul's writing this, you got to think about kind of where he is at, right? I mean, he knows that he's about to die. He knows Timothy is going through this incredible struggle, and it's this deep, intimate moment. I'm wondering if maybe as he's writing this, he is reminiscing in his mind about all the times that they had together and all the things that he's seen God do. And it's just, it's got to be like this emotional thing. And for Paul, it's like, man, what do I need to write to Timothy more than anything else? And he decides this is what I need to write. And so we're going to pick up verse 1, chapter 1, 2 Timothy. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. So Paul always starts out his letters with just declaring who he is. We know it's Paul writing it. He starts every letter almost the same. So Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise. I love that. He already starts out with like an exciting, an uplifting, a hope-filled tone. According to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, he starts out his letter by kind of just going, hey, we all know what's happening right now. I'm about to die. Timothy, you know I'm about to die. But I'm still going to tell you, according to the promise of life that I have and that you have in Jesus, worst case scenario, Timothy, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to get executed, and immediately following that, I will be in heaven forever praising Jesus, right? That's worst case scenario. So have some hope, have some faith, have some an understanding that worst case scenario, I die, you die, we all die. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you will then spend forever in eternity in heaven. That's a good thing. And so Paul's writing to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. Ready? To Timothy, my beloved child. You see their father relationship. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Number 3, verse 3. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, remember he knows he's upset, he's overwhelmed. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. Number 5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, right? And now I am sure dwells in you. Here's what he's saying. I'm not the only one, and you're not the only one. Timothy, if I die, you're not the only Christian left. Like, your grandma was a believer in Jesus. Your mom was a believer in Jesus. The people that you pastor to are believers in Jesus. It's not just me. You have a whole church body that will surround you, protect you, help you, and move you forward in life. We're not the only ones. Take heart, be encouraged. Remember your faith. In verse 6, he said, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on my hands. And here's verse 7. This is where we're going to focus this morning. Ready? For God gave us a spirit not of fear. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. Right here in this moment, Paul takes the time and he says, listen, Timothy, if there's anything you need to understand right off the bat, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because God did not give you a spirit of fear. Understand that. God did not give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. Do not be afraid. Do not be overwhelmed by your fear. Be overwhelmed by your faith. So I'm wondering in here this morning, has anybody in here this morning ever been startled by somebody, right? Somebody jumps out at you, go, ah, right? And you're, ah, right? Okay, what happens immediately when you get scared by somebody, right? Ah! Right, you breathe in, it's like, and your body tenses up, you can't move, you're paralyzed, right? And then when you realize it's finally somebody who's safe, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't stand you. Seriously, why do you scare me like that, right? But when it first happens, man, immediately, when we get scared, overwhelmed, we stop breathing, our body tenses, we can't move, we're paralyzed. You ever been home, right? And you think somebody's roaming through your house that shouldn't be there? Freaky, right? And you're in bed, you're like, and here's a question. Do I go and look or do I stay right here where it's safe? But if it's safe, they may bust through the door and murder me. It's not safe. I don't know what's happening. And you get fear. And then, of course, in the movies, it's always, hey, let's go look. Right? And they're just never understood that. But okay, yeah, let's go find. Hey, are you in the kitchen? Yeah, I'm making a sandwich. Come in. I'm going to, right? Doesn't make any sense. But man, you get when you get scared, you get overwhelmed, you get paralyzed, right? Fear is funny. You get tense, and then your focus only goes to what you're afraid of. And man, when you're afraid, you can't see 2 feet in front of your face. And here's what ends up happening. You can't move forward. See, when we're afraid, we get paralyzed, we get tense, we can't move forward, and all of a sudden, all we can focus on our fear. And right now, you've got Timothy who is scared to death. And he can't move forward. He can't continue to be what God wants him to be because all he can see is his fear. His focus is on his fear. And Paul again writes, listen, dude, God did not give you a spirit of timidity, fear, right? He gave you a spirit of power, love, and self-control. And here's what I know about Satan. Satan's a very real thing. Satan absolutely loves to make you afraid. He loves it. He will do everything in his power to keep you focused on the things in your life that make you afraid. Because he knows that if I can get them to focus on the things that make them afraid, they ain't gonna move. They will become so ineffective for the gospel, it won't even be funny. They'll be scared little puppies in their bed going, I don't know. And where Satan knows that if somebody believes in their faith instead of their fear, that they are such a power for the gospel, not hell itself can overcome it. And so Satan will do everything he can in his power to make you stay afraid. And it's always these little things. And sometimes it's a big thing. But it's a whole lot of little things in our life. These little areas can make us afraid, right? Am I gonna, you know, make the football team, right? And then there's big areas. Am I gonna lose my job? So I'm curious this morning, if we understand that God wants us to have a spirit not of fear, but of faith, well, how does that look like in each one of our lives? I mean, we got the head knowledge, right? We understand that Paul's saying you should have a spirit not of fear, but of what? Power, love, and self-control. Or in other words, don't be overwhelmed by your fear, be overwhelmed by your what? Well, what does that look like? How do you do that, right? Have you ever been in a moment where you're afraid and you just don't know what to do? You've been there? I've been there, right? So let's try and figure out a little bit practically is how you can take what's some head knowledge and really start putting into practice in your life. In order to do that, I'm gonna ask you a few questions. Are y'all ready for this? Okay. Question number one, I'm gonna ask for some crowd participation here in a second. Question number one, okay. Now some of you are already afraid, like, oh, he's gonna call me out, right? Okay, don't worry about that, all right? Question number one is this, for everybody in the room, have you ever been afraid? Yeah. Everybody like, oh yeah, you don't even know. Oh, I'm scared right now. Okay? Okay, so let's get, now I'll do this sometimes on Wednesday nights when I teach, but I'll get some crowd interaction and I want you to give me some responses back. I gotta lay out a couple ground rules for you, right? Right before I lay out some questions, I need to lay out some ground rules. First ground rule is this, all right? If you're gonna respond, keep it clean, people. Keep it clean, right? We are in church, okay? So, second ground rule is this. If you're gonna respond, make it legitimate, right? I don't wanna hear, I'm scared of worms, right? Seriously. Now, if you were to say, I'm scared of clowns, totally understandable, right? Clowns are from Satan. Everybody knows that, right? Can I get an amen? Thank you, right? Okay, so next question is this, all right? Now, if you want to respond, I need you to raise your hand. I'll call on you, okay? Here's a question. What are you afraid of? So anybody, you got one? My main TJ, what is it? Isolation. Ooh, like being trapped. Ooh, claustrophobia. I heard that. Feet? No, that's a legitimate fear. There's some people, man, if a foot touches you, you freak out. It's all over. Heights? Anybody scared of heights? Like, you refuse to do a roller coaster. It's like, gee-gee-gee, right? All right. Nah, that's not legitimate. All right. Go ahead. What is it? Surfing? Serpents. I thought you said surfing. I was like, I don't understand that. Jaws is going to kill you, right? So, oh, but I like that. I like that. Snakes. Anybody scared of snakes? All right. Spiders. What? L.A. Hey, L.A. I was like, why are they telling me somebody's behind me? I'm going to die? Okay. What's yours? Tornadoes. Natural disasters. The hurricane's gonna get us all, right? Okay, so those are some good ones. I like that. All right, let's see if we can do this. Let's see if we can do this. Ready? Let's see if we can get a little more personal. Okay, let's get a little bit more deep. All right, now I'm not gonna ask you to like give me all your skeletons in your closets or whatever, right? But let's see if we can get a little bit more personal. Okay, hang on 1 second for me. All right. A little more personal, okay? What situations in your life are you afraid of? So for example, it could be, I'm afraid that if I'm past the basketball and it's 2 seconds left on the clock, I'm gonna miss. And I will not be the clutch shooter, I will let my team down and I will fail. I'm afraid of that. Maybe somebody, I'm gonna ask that girl to prom, she's gonna be like, no, rejected, right? So what are some of the relationships, or what are some of the situations in your life that you're afraid of? Say again. Getting beat up, yeah. Okay. Oh, that's a good one. Afraid of losing your family. Thank you for being honest. That's solid. There are a lot of people in this room who feel that way. Not making the basketball team, that's right. Not making a sports team that you tried out for. In the back? Fear of what? Fear of losing anything at all. Absolutely. How many of you are afraid losing stuff, right? Right, and if so, if we're honest, we're all afraid of a whole lot of stuff. As I was thinking about this morning, I decided, I was like, you know, I'm gonna write some things down, some things I think that maybe a lot of us are truly struggling with, right? So here's some things I think a lot of us are struggling with. I heard not making the football team, not making a sports team that you want. I think a lot of us are failing. We're afraid of failing. That can mean a lot of things. Afraid of failing at school, right? Failure is this massive fear that a lot of us have. Some of us have just these unbelievable expectations placed on our shoulders, and it's like, man, if I don't meet those expectations, I'm a failure. And you're afraid of that. I think some people are afraid of not having any friends. Right now, some people are like, man, no, I don't want any friends. No, that's not true. Everybody wants friends. You may not want 50 friends, but we're afraid of not having friends, right? I think here's one I thought was really interesting. Growing up, right? You know you're supposed to grow up. I mean, you guys are maturing. You're becoming older. I tell my middle school students all the time, I set high expectations for you because I can believe you can meet those. right? And I expect that we will grow up together in the Lord. And I think some of us, there's moments, I was this guy in middle school, but growing up and maybe losing that kind of label of the class clown, right? You're that funny kid that you're the one who's going to always tell the jokes. And man, that you've created your entire identity around this idea of being the class clown. And if people find out who you really are, like you're incredibly afraid of that, right? Here's some other ones, maybe rejection in the world of dating, right? I know a lot of times we laugh about that, but that's a real deal. I mean, there's a lot of people who are, man, I'm never going to have a girlfriend, I'm never going to have a boyfriend, I'm going to be single the rest of my life. I mean, there's fear involved in that. How come the rest of my friends are all dating, having fun? I just don't understand, right? What about this? What about people finding out who you really are because you made them think you were something else? I wonder how many of us are afraid of that. Like, I mean, if they really knew, I'm the biggest nerd on the planet, right? What if they found that out? Because I've said I'm this, but I know I'm not. I'm doing this to please people. I'm afraid they're going to find out. I think that's a real fear. I think for you guys, this wasn't a big deal for me growing up. But I think for y'all, this is a huge deal. In your generation, I think people finding out that you follow Jesus is a big deal. I mean, let's be real, right? If you're sitting in school and the argument of homosexuality pops up and you understand that the Bible has certain things to say about that particular argument and now it should be done in love, right? But still, if they find out, man, you're a bigot, you're a horrible person, you're short-sighted, you're not progressive, how dare you be so old-fashioned? Right? It is not cool to be a Christian anymore. I think a lot of us are afraid to show our faith because it ain't popular anymore. The cool kids aren't the Christian kids. And that'll put fear in your body real quick. How about for some of the adults in the room, losing your job? I can read the stock markets, I can read the oil prices, I can read all that stuff, and you read all these headlines, people are getting laid off, and you just go, am I next? I mean, that's real. What am I going to do to be able to supply for my family? Can I supply for my family if I lose my job? I don't know. Fear overtakes you like that. How about this, and I'm going to just be gut level honest with y'all. I've got a third kid on the way, right? My new child's going to be here in October, and so that'll be number three. And I thought at one, like, I would have a lot of control there, okay? I have pretty good chances and odds, and man, I'm scared to death. Oh, my kids are going to turn out okay, right? I mean, how do you handle three? How do you handle one? But how do you handle three? You know, are Cammie and I going to be a good husband and a wife? Are Cammie and I going to be a good mom and a dad? Are we going to be able to raise our kids in a godly way? And then will God honor that and shepherd them and support them and keep them safe? I don't know. That makes me scared, right? And some of us maintaining healthy relationships or marriages, and is our marriage going to last? Everybody in this room walked in this morning with some sort of fear or multiple fears in their life. And that fear has the potential to hold you down for the rest of your life. And God's very simple. He writes through this guy named Paul, but he makes it very, very, very simple. I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. And so we know the head knowledge, yeah, I know I don't have a spirit of fear, yeah, uh-huh, but I'm afraid. So why, that doesn't really match up in my life. But I think what you have to do this morning is you just have to recognize, where's your focus? And what are you focused on? So you're either focused on your fear or you're focused on your faith. I mean, at the end of the day, it breaks down to be something that simple, right? I mean, what happens when we focus on our fear? Take the job loss. All right, if I lose my job, then I'm going to lose money. I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. We'll get kicked out of my house. I won't be able to feed my family. My wife will start to get incredibly angry with me. I will become less of a man. I will not be able to supply for my family. My wife may possibly walk out because that would never be good for her to not be able to have a home. My kids are going to think I'm a failure, and then I don't know what's going to happen after that. So then I'm going to try and get a job, but unfortunately, all the jobs that I know how to do, none of those people are hiring. And then I don't know how to do these other jobs, and so I'm going to have to get a job at like McDonald's, and then, I mean, I'm ruined. Y'all ever gone through that progression in your mind? That all you're doing when we do that, and I do it, right? What if I don't raise my kids correctly, and then they're going to get into the wrong crowd, and then they're going to get into the wrong things, and then they're going to get to college, and they're going to completely bananas. They're going to walk away from the faith. They're going to be something that we never, ever wanted them to be, and they're going to become men and women that I just don't know what's going to happen in their life. Like, I've walked through those progressions too. But all you do when you do that is you are doing exactly what Paul writes. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but what you are doing is you are focusing solely on the fear. And when you focus solely on the fear, there's nothing else to focus on. You can't focus on fear and faith at the same time. It just doesn't work. And so what you end up having is Paul's like, dude, you have got to stop focusing on the fear and you have got to start focusing on the faith. Where is your focus this morning? Do you focus on the fear or do you focus on the faith? Listen, we serve the God of the universe. Like, picture that in your brain for a minute. Picture the Milky Way galaxy, the pictures that you see in science class. Picture the sun every time you walk out in the like ridiculous heat of Houston. When you walk out, you feel like your skin's melting. It's because God breathed out that sun. We serve the God of the universe, and get this, the God of the universe did not give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. But when we focus on our fear, we can't focus on the power. So what ends up happening is you become paralyzed. You can't move forward. Life just isn't going to work for you. And so, you know, Ryan, what does that look like? It's very simple. You move from focusing on your fear to focusing on your faith. How do you focus on your faith? You read, right? If I lose my job, what's going to happen? Yeah, but I know about Matthew 6:26. For God feeds the birds in the air. Are you not more important than them? Well, God, I know you're supposed to feed birds and I know you'll take care of me, but don't you see the oil prices? Yeah, I do. And that's tension, isn't it? Now look, I'm not saying this is easy. But what I am saying is it takes action. It takes a step on your part. You have to move your focus from the fear and your focus to the faith in which you go. All right, Matthew 6:26 says that the birds are, that you feed the birds. How much more important am I than they? You feed the birds, you'll feed me. Book of Psalm, man, no matter what, God, you are holy, you reign just, you will provide. God, I got to believe that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, Lord, like I'm struggling, but man, I'm going to believe your truth of your word. And it's literally, it's that practical. You move from focusing on your fear and all the oh no scenarios and you just go, I'm going to focus on what God believes is right for me. And it's even more practical for you. And I literally do this. I have flashcards, okay? I have flashcards. And on the front of the flashcard, for example, I grew up incredibly insecure. I always struggle with insecurity, right? Let's be real, okay? Everybody in here is insecure at some point. And I literally write on the flashcard, I feel insecure. And I write the word stop in big letters. And I flip the card over and on the back, my insecurity keeps me from becoming the man of God he designed me to be. And then I write verses about who I was created to be in Christ. And I'm not kidding when I say this. I literally pull out the flashcard when I start to feel insecure and I will read, I feel insecure, stop. Flip it over and I will read the truth of the gospel into my life because it is the power of the word of God which will change your life.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.